Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche, and we have a super fun-filled show today. We have later around 7:45, we have Choose H2O program. We have Austin coming on and talking about what we're doing at the Brennan School. It's a new innovative program. But in studio right now, we have Tony Viveras, who's going to be talking about all kinds of different things in the Attleboro area. And then I'll be back later to talk to you about the latest and greatest things that are happening in our area. So good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Elaine.
How are you? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. It's nice to be back on occasionally.
Yes.
And whenever you call, as I said, I'm ready.
Well, that's great. So you've got some things to talk about with the Attleboro area. Do you want to start with...
First of all...
What do you want to do?
First of all, with the sudden tragic death of one of Attleboro High's school, Nick Vero. I went to the football game last night, and the place was packed. It was like a Thanksgiving Day game where the crowds were unbelievable. The entire stands were packed and all standing room only. And the principal, Bill Rooney, made the announcement of a moment in silence, and also read something that Nick Vero wrote, and it was very touching and very emotional. Matter of fact, Bill Rooney broke down a little bit, and you could see that, you know, but this is such a tragic thing. And, you know, Elaine, you and I and even Mike here, you know, are going through youth and teenager, you always, a death was always meant for something else. You were indestructible. And, you know, with something like this that happens, it shows you how delicate life can be. And, you know, you never know that you could be talking to somebody today and that person could be gone tomorrow. So, you know, something like that does have a silver lining to this black cloud. And the other thing is, you know, in a situation like this where I did want to attend the funeral, but I got there about 10 minutes late, and there were cars, you know, in Holy Ghost Church, or St. Vincent de Paul Church is a very small church, and they had, according to the paper, 300 people packed in there like sardines. And then the vigil the night before at Capon Park, and then the outpouring of the everybody that came to the game last night really brings the community a lot closer. So his death will be remembered for a long, long time in tragedy. But, you know, for the Blue Pride community, it brings a lot of people together. So, you know, our condolences to his parents and relatives and grandparents and, you know, and friends and all his friends at Attleboro High School. So, well, having said that, you know, let me go into last night's football game. I went to the game, as I mentioned, and it was a scoreless game. It was a good game. Neither team could get into the end zone, but through a scramble of the quarterback and scooted 50 or 60 yards, that was the only score, 6-0 for Attleboro. So Attleboro suffered their second loss of the season. But, you know, both games were close games. They lost to Cumberland 33-32 the week before. Last night, 6-0, so nothing to be ashamed of. North Attleboro last night pounded Bishop Feehan 34-0, and that game was at Bishop Feehan. New Bedford beat Dighton Rehoboth 25-17. King Philip, another strong football team this year, beat Foxborough 16-7. Mansfield, another big, strong team this year, beat Braintree 28-0. Millis beat Norton 41-21. And Seacock annihilated Fairhaven 54-20. And the Red Sox did win last night in 15 innings, 13-6. That must have been a wild one. And the Yankees won too. So right now it's three games ahead of the Yankees, and let's hope it stays that way.
Can you just say that again for Tom Rafferty? Who's ahead?
Red Sox? The Red Sox, I think.
By how many?
By three games, yeah.
And the team that they're ahead of is the what?
The Yankees.
Yes.
Yeah, they're out of New York.
Yeah. Do you hear that, Tom?
Yeah. And, the difference between Yankee Stadium and Red Sox and Fenway Park in October is Fenway will be selling hot dogs and Yankee Stadium will be in the dark.
Love it.
Yeah,
that's great. We have a lot of things going on today, and I brought you in because, first of all, I wanted to ask you, how was the Concert in the Park series, and what's coming up with the Capron Park? I know that they're actually looking for volunteers, if people want to volunteer.
To help at the zoo.
Yes, yeah.
And the summer concerts this year were very successful, as they are, and thank God that we're fully funded for many, 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 many years to come. And let's hope that music doesn't fade out in today's world with today's technology. Who the heck knows? But, so we're very fortunate. Thank you to the Samuel Stone family who's been funding the concerts for over 60 years. And now with the big push from the Augert Foundation, with their generous donation of $100,000.
Wow.
We have money, and now that we're working just off the interest of those two funds to fund summer concert series every year. So it's in good shape in many years to come. So, and it's every Thursday evening during July and August, and the first Thursday depends on where the 4th of July falls on, because if the 4th of July is close, we won't have it because a lot of people go away out of town. And the same thing, with Labor Day. If it falls too close to Labor Day, it's the last weekend, unofficial weekend, the end of summer. So with that, that's to do well. And I have to say with the Halloween night, what did I call it? For the zoo.
The Zoo Spectacular?
Zoo Spectacular. I don't know the date, but it's close to Halloween. Mm-hmm. That's coming up. And you had mentioned that they are looking for volunteers to help out with the zoo. And it's a very interesting program. They train you for about 4 weeks and volunteer you in certain positions. So the zoo's had a good year. The weather's been great this year. We had a very much rainless August, which helps out. And the other thing going on at the zoo, which will start in a couple of hours, is, of course, the farmers market.
You better believe it.
Which has been a very, very popular thing this year. And a couple of weeks ago, I drove by because there was no parking spots to be had. The high school parking lot was full, and a good portion of the zoo parking lot was full, and the place was jam-packed.
It is,
so,
yes.
So that's going on until the end of October. So, you still got 6 weeks of, 5 or 6 weeks of farmer's market, and get your local fresh products there, because you can't beat native tomatoes, corn, cucumbers, and everything else that comes along with it.
Oh, yeah. And then they have other vendors, too, like from coffee. They have a guy making breakfast, waffles and things. They have the guy that sharpens knives. They have all kinds of different things that are there. My big thing is, after the show, I had this routine of going up to North Attleboro for breakfast. But now I just go home and I wait till 9 o'clock, and then I go to the farmer's market to eat.
Oh, good.
And if you get there at 9 or 5 or 10 after, it makes a world of difference. I can find a parking spot. But
yeah,
you're right. If you go at 10, 10:30, whatever, you can't find a parking spot.
Yeah.
But they rated top 10 in the country.
Yeah, I saw that.
Wonderful?
I saw that in the
Heather and the team did a fantastic job.
And I think that's what helped them out, because when it did come out in the paper that they were rated in the top 10, and it was on the news story, too, as well, that weekend was a weekend that was jam-packed. So, that's absolutely great. And I'm glad that it's held at Capron Park, because it's such a central location, mm-hmm. plenty of parking, and the proximity of the farmer's market to the parking lot is very close.
So, oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people bring their families. I see little kids running around, and they have Nettie's Popcorn there every week and baked goods. Now we've got a couple of bakers that have like donuts and cakes and cookies and things now. Mm. And occasionally they have this one girl that came in, I think three or four times it was a pierogies, a Polish pierogies she had.
Yeah, and they also have a barbecue.
Oh, yeah, they got an official smoking. Yeah. The guy comes up and he pulls his big smoker out there, and they have everything, chicken barbecue, brisket, and all kinds of things. And they have a couple of food trucks mm-hmm. that are out there, too. And in the center, they have, like, music. They have a band set up. And then they have, like, community, like community tables. Like, my little granddaughters were there for Girl Scouts.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were out there handing out little stickers and
right,
that.
Yeah, and I've seen some high school tables, mm-hmm. you know, seeking either donations or selling, you know, Blue Pride gear. You mm-hmm. know, so, yeah, that works out well for the community. And, you know, as a park commissioner, I love to see the park busy, mm. you know, because that's what it's there for, to be community involved. So mm-hmm. it's great. So there's a lot of other things going on in the park, but my feeble mind seems to forget things at times.
I do have a quick question, though. The rainforest, has that been at the zoo? Has that been?
That's already started, the construction.
It already has, okay.
Yeah, we're hoping that'll be open next spring or early summer.
Oh, good.
So, it's going to be an ongoing project. And we're very fortunate. Again, the rainforest, by the way, the name of it is the Samuel M. Stone Rainforest. So Samuel M. Stone had a heavy hand in Cape and Park. Not only was he a longtime park commissioner, but funded a lot of things. And he had died when that rainforest was built. His wife built it in his memory.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was the first rainforest, you know, on the entire eastern seaboard. That was back in 1960 or 61. And so it needs a complete refurbishing. So it's about 50 years old.
Okay, we're going to stop you there because we got to take our first break. You are listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our phone number here is 508-222-1320, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Elks Lodge 1011 in North Attleboro will hold their second annual Night of Stars on Friday, September 22nd, beginning at 6 o'clock p.m. The event will feature cocktails, dinner, and three musical performances. The night's performers include Luann Dutra as Marilyn Monroe, Mike Dutra as Frank Sinatra, and Verna Brown as Celine Dion. Night of Stars is open to the general public. For more information, call 508-695-9033 or visit elks1011.com.
Claudino's Auto Repair, located at 310 South Main Street in Attleboro, is celebrating 25 years in the auto and truck repair business. Over the years, John Claudino and his team of mechanics have worked to build a long-lasting rapport with their customers, from oil changes to diagnostics, transmissions, and routine maintenance on foreign and domestic cars and trucks. Claudino's will keep your vehicle running. Claudino's Auto Repair, 508-226-8545, or at claudinosautorepair.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone, and you are listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. In studio, I have Tony Viveras, and we were talking about some of the things that are happening in the area. I just wanted to mention that the 37th annual Cracker Barrel Fair is up in Wrentham. It starts at noon to 10 p.m., and it goes through till Sunday, noon to 7 p.m., and there's a lot of things going on up there. Also, to remind you that the Lee's Pond Festival is coming up today, and Tony's going to talk about that, but before he does, in Johnston, Rhode Island, the 30th annual Apple Festival is happening 10 a.m. to 5 and also on Sunday, and that's at Johnston Memorial Park. And they have everything Apple, and they have pony rides and, of course, the Apple Pie Contest and carnival rides, and it's all good. And there's actually the Big E. Tony, have you ever been to the...
Oh, yeah, many times.
Yeah, it opened...
I haven't been there in a while, but... Yeah.
Yeah, it started Friday, and yep. It goes for 17 days, and there's lots of food and fun and lots of livestock and shopping and entertainment. They even have the Grand Funk Railroad's playing, and Red Hot Chili Peppers are too. So there is a lot of things happening in our area.
And when is the Topsfield Fair? That's another big
one,
too.
That comes in, yeah, that should be coming up soon as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about, there's a couple of things you wanted to
about
mention.
Lee's Pond.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to start today. Matter of fact, it starts today from 10:45 to 3 o'clock. And the rain date is for tomorrow. And I don't think it's going to rain today or spot showers. So, you know, they got tons of things to do down there. And this is the 29th annual Lee's Pond Festival. And they have music. They got the bands. They got field games, an arcade, face painting, wrestlers, canine dog demo, pony rides. And of course, they got the iMobile and the spot camera. And the admission is free.
Love it.
Yeah, with old-time food prices. And this isn't a fundraiser, but it's give back to our community for its support.
And what time does it start?
It starts from 10:45 this morning till 3 o'clock this afternoon. And it's at Lee's Pond, South Attleboro, the Veterans Memorial Park. And if you have any questions about it, you can contact Ken Benoit at Comcast.net or 508-226-0448. Again, Lee's Pond Festival today at 10:45 to 3 o'clock down at Lee's Pond.
Excellent.
South Attleboro.
Paul Healy and I did a live remote there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, we had so much fun. It was a lot of fun. And I actually did it with Jay Rogers when we first started WARA 1320.
Jay Rogers,
yep.
Wow.
We did. We set up, they gave us a little snack table to put the equipment in, and I had to stand up for a while. And I kept saying, that's where I got my catchphrase, when it's live radio, anything can happen, you know.
Yeah, I remember going on there, and it was a windy day. Yeah, because they had to hold on to some of the canopies.
Yes, that's
yeah, so
right.
It was the same time. Yeah, matter of fact, yeah, I was a guest on that thing, yeah.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That's right. That's years ago.
Yeah, you just rejuvenated my memory.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, and if Paul Healy's listening, he does a fantastic job on coverage on the Attleboro football.
He oh, was, my God. Yeah,
in
he
broadcast.
And his brother.
Well, yeah, it wasn't his brother last night, but at the basketball games, it's him and his brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they do a great job. So
wonderful. So yeah. What's happening with the Attleboro High School? I am going to have the mayor on in another week or two. So, but tell me something good.
Well, I mean, obviously, we would like to have a new high school. This one is over 55 years old, and it's a big footprint. It's more of a contemporary style type school, but it's seen its days. You know, and a lot of people say, so what if it's 55 years old? Well, the old high school, which is now on County Street, that was 50 years old to the date that the new high school was built, too. So schools outlive their purpose for one reason or another. And today's world, the technology is so far advanced and fast-moving that you got to keep up with it. And as a parent and grandparents, you want to see the best for your children. You want to seek the best education so they can keep a foot ahead of what's out there in the world. So, I mean, it's going to be a lengthy process, and sometime it'll be somewhat of an emotional process because there are people that, and I can understand that, can't afford a debt exclusion. But this is the times where we have to invest in our future. So there'll be more meetings on the school. And after the election, probably after the holidays, I think it'll start intensifying on the debt exclusion. And we got to get people out there to convince people that this is the best thing for Attleboro to do. So, all the schools have been done over. We've had new schools. When Judy Robbins was mayor, she had a bulk of the schools completely done. And we had a couple of new schools built. And we had all the other schools completely renovated over. So the only school left is the high school.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
and
kidding. That's
all great. The other schools were done with taxpayer money, but it was bonded. And on top of that, the School Building Assistance Bureau funded Attleboro 75% of the schools back then. Now it's down to 50%. And even though it's at a lowest number, it's still a deal. If I could do something to my house and somebody reimbursed me 50 cents to a dollar, I'd make sure that I could get whatever I could done. Because I have a feeling that after this 50%, in the future, it's going to even get lower because the state is not funding education as it should. So this is a real time and opportunity to get the best bang for our buck and to put Attleboro on the front burner for our children and future generations.
Well,
so enough said about that, and there'll be more. As you said, you're going to have the mayor on, and he'll be discussing that as well. And the other thing, it's going to be an interesting election day Tuesday.
Tuesday's the primary.
Yeah, you know, of all the elections I've been involved in, I was Judy Robbins' campaign manager for three of her re-election. This is such an unusual because it's the primary, which we've had before, or the preliminary, which we've had before, but it's never been just for the mayor. There's no other contest just for the mayor. So I don't know what kind of turnout it's going to be, but there's so many variables that the mayor's been in there for 14 years. People may say it's time for a change. Or people may say, you know, the mayor's done a good job. Oh, he'll win easily. He doesn't need my vote. I'll vote for him in November, you know. So that's what's scary about this election.
Right.
So I, and as far as Paul Hero and Ron Churchill, I tell all three candidates, run scared. That's the only way to run for public office. You know, you got to work your hardest, especially to get your supporters and make sure that they get out on election day to vote.
Right.
But I'm going to predict probably maybe 20% of the registered voters are only going to come out.
Really? That's it?
And I know there's a special election for a state senate for seven of the districts of Attleboro's 12 district. But, you know, I don't see that on people's minds, you know, to fill a vacancy of the state senate. But the mayor's race, I think, will draw out 20%, which is terrible, but, you know, so... We'll see what happens.
Well, I'm sure between now and then there'll be a lot of focus on get the vote out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make sure that you get out and vote. And your vote does matter.
Oh, does it ever.
You know, especially now.
I remind people, when I first ran for city council and I ran against a 16-year incumbent, I won by one vote. It was the closest election in the city of Attleboro. And on the recount, he won by one vote. So I lost out by a vote. So... Yeah, your vote counts. Every vote counts. And I don't know how many people said, I didn't vote. I didn't come out. I said, well, you know, there was a difference.
One vote. That is a very close election. Oh, my gosh. Whew. Wow.
So, anyways, that's all I have to say. I've occupied much of your time, so...
That's great.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm going to let you do your out and about stuff.
Well, I'm just going to reiterate a couple of things.
Not that I'm the host of the show and telling you what to do.
Listen, guests in the house, they have preference over anything I say, really, within reason.
Okay.
But yeah, there's a couple of interesting things. A psychic fair is going to be scheduled on September 23rd from 10 a.m. to 3 at the Falls Fire Barn on Commonwealth Avenue. And for $20, you get a 15-minute reading, and proceeds go to the Fire Barn Preservation Society. And today, that Central Congregation Church has a huge, they call it a yard sale, but there's arts and crafts and everything, too, and they're going to be starting up, I believe, 10 o'clock today. So if you're riding by and wanting to know where that is, it's great. And don't forget the Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1. And after we have Jim Corbin updating us, we do have Austin to come on and talk about the Choose H2O program in the Attleboro School. So there is a 32%, if I remember correctly, obesity in the United States with children drinking carbonated soda and snacks and empty calories. And so there's a whole commission of maybe 10 or 12 people in our area that from Sturdy Hospital, the YMCA, and everywhere in between are getting together. They formed this wonderful committee. So Austin's going to be on and talking about that. And I'd be curious to find out if they're going to expand it to the other school systems, too. But this is a pilot program, and they're to be commended for all their hard work in getting it approved and getting the water bottles to the kids and, really putting a focus on nutrition.
Yeah, and it's also interesting. I know the food and the snacks are a big problem, but the other big problem is, and I keep on saying, today's technology, a lot of the kids are staying in, playing video games around their phones, and they're not getting the proper exercise or going outside and burning off those calories that, they have, so.
I remember I never sat in front of a television set because when you came from school, your parents wanted you to get out, get right out and play till supper time, and then you did your homework, and then on the weekends, and that is get out.
Yeah, in the summer times, you had breakfast, and out the door you went.
That's right.
There was nothing on TV anyways. There was only three networks.
We're showing our age here.
Yeah. That's all right. I don't mind showing my age.
Well, listen, I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, thank you.
We'll have to come back again and let us know what's going on in October for the Zoo Spectacular.
Yes.
It's Boo Spectacular.
Oh, that's right. I don't know why I have a problem with that word. Yeah, okay.
That's okay.
And I'll have to get back to the day. Yeah, and also they're going to have their fundraiser, too. It used to be Passport
certain
countries. But I think they're going to have it October 7th, but I'm not certain on the date, but it's coming up shortly.
All right, you have to call in or come back and let us know.
I will.
All right, great. So that was Tony Viveras. We're going to take a quick break, and then on the flip side, we do have Jim Corbin talking about Hurricane Irma and what is in store for us next week. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Chef and gardener Liz Barber will present Edible Landscaping on Wednesday, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro. Join her for a slideshow tour through her edible gardens and learn how she has introduced vegetables, fruit trees, edible shrubs, and herbs to her garden. Registration is required for this event. If you are interested in attending, you can send an email to mholmes@salesinc.org.
Hamilton was adopted from a rescue in 2008. He really likes to be around people. I get out my mat and I'm doing a downward dog and he's underneath. He's quite the pug about town. He gets invited to a lot of parties. He knows he's a pretty big deal. Look at this little face. How could you not love him?
Hamilton the Pug, Instagram star and shelter pet. Amazing adoption stories start in shelters. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Does your back hurt after a long night's sleep? Has your mattress seen better days? Is your current bedroom furniture a mixture of different furniture sets? The Bedding Center, located on Pleasant Street and proud sponsor of this radio station and high school sports, offers a wide array of mattresses along with beds, bedroom furniture, and odd-sized mattresses and box springs. You can reach them online at bedding-center.com or by phone at 508-226-8090.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. This is Elaine the Roach. Our telephone number here is 508-222-1320. I wanted to talk to Jim Corbin about the two hurricanes. Hurricane Irma requests really sail through Florida, and my sister and a lot of my friends live in Florida. And we did have two live reports last week. We had Jim Corbin's brother and Walter Nowicki, who's a friend of mine who lives down there as well. My sister and her husband have a condo down there in Fort Myers, and they're up here. And they always leave one car down in Florida, but this year they decided to take both cars up. And they're very glad that they did, because there was a lot of water and damage. Their condo, particular condo, was very fortunate. There were several huge palm trees that if it would have fallen right next to their house, it would have been total devastation. But what happened was these palm trees went on the other side of the condos and landed on the lawn. So it saved their units, which was just really a godsend. It really, really was. So for all the people that are just trying to, you know, get back all the things, it's going to take us. They say it's going to take so many millions and billions of dollars for to hurricane relief for Irma and then Harvey. And then we've got Hurricane Jose that's out there in the Atlantic. And hopefully Jim will be calling in and giving us an update of what we can expect. And just watching the news, it just seems like every time we turn on the TV, there's another hurricane coming up, the storm. I wonder if I know that he was saying like the average is like 12 a year, but they're coming like, this is the first time I've ever seen like three hurricanes in less than, you know.
Yeah, it's been an active season, you know, and I felt sorry for the people in Mexico where they got pounded by that earthquake and then the hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in 2 days in a row. And I forget how many deaths, but it's well over 100 now.
Wow.
With the earthquake. So that entire Gulf Mexico with, what was the hurricane that hit Texas?
Harvey.
Harvey, and then Irma, that hurricane that came out of the Gulf hit Mexico.
And now and Jose.
And then Irma, and now Jose coming up, and, you know, but.
Right.
But, you know, being in New England, we've been very fortunate over the last, so many years.
Isn't that the truth? Because I was wondering about that, too, yeah. You know. And we've been very fortunate where they either go out to sea or they go inland.
Right.
And then they just peter out. And
When I was a child, I do remember Hurricane Carol and Hurricane Diane, 1954 and 1955.
Wow.
I was 8 or 9 years old. And it was scary. They were very strong hurricanes. And I don't think we've had... You know, we had Hurricane Bob in the 91 and 92, but those two hurricanes, I do remember. And, of course, the big hurricane of 38 where they had no names, it devastated Rhode Island.
And the Biltmore Hotel in Providence, if you go there in the lobby, they have a plaque.
Right.
And they have, like, a photograph, an old photograph of the city of Providence being flooded.
Yeah.
And it said... at this watermark, which is almost as tall as I am, you know, that the water came that high. And now we have the hurricane barrier.
Well, in Irma, they were predicting high watermarks of 10 to 15 feet. So.
Right, right. Okay, I think we do have Jim Corbin on. And hi, Jim, good morning.
Hello, Elaine.
Thank you for calling in. And can you give us an update as to
what's
going on?
Hi, hello, Tony. I'll get right to the weather today, tomorrow, and Monday, because after that, it's all tropical. As a matter of fact, there's more coming down the line. At any rate, the fog out there and low clouds will burn off, I think, by about 9 o'clock this morning. So it's actually going to get a lot nicer just in time for the farmer's market and Lee's Pond and everything else going on today in Attleboro and anything else around the Attleboro area and all the cities and towns. And by around 3 o'clock this afternoon, we'll be up around 79, might even briefly touch 80. So late season warmth today. Winds will be fairly light. You'll still notice, though, the humidity. The humidity really is not going to go away until we finally get rid of Jose, and I'll talk about that in a second. Tonight, falling back to the low and mid-60s. Once again, like this morning, there will be areas of low clouds and fog. So like this morning, you wake up, you look out, and you say, uh-oh, is it going to be like this all day? Well, no. It'll burn off once again tomorrow morning, early, and then we'll have more sunshine tomorrow afternoon. Upper 70s, still humid, but again, without, that's really been the theme this summer and now early fall. We've had a lot of humidity this summer, but without a lot of hot temperatures, and that's why a lot of people have said to me, this summer seems like it's been fairly cool, and it's really not been cool average-wise, but it's been the lack of several days of hot weather that's why some people have the impression that over the last several months, it hasn't been exactly all that warm. Now, tomorrow, again, upper 70s, we'll start out probably with some patchy low clouds on Monday and then partial sunshine in the afternoon. Temperatures in the low 70s. We're going to start to develop an east-northeast wind, and it's looking more and more like Jose will affect us probably by late Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It's not going to be moving fast, and that has been the theme, as you know, for the last two hurricanes, Harvey and Irma, not moving all that fast. This one will likely bring us rain and wind, Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, it's going to transform likely into what's called an extratropical storm. It'll still be named Jose, but you'll probably start hearing it as it gets close, extratropical storm Jose or something like that. That's more semantics than anything else. What that means is the storm center will actually weaken perhaps from a Category 1 to maybe a strong tropical storm, but the highest winds or the strong winds spread out more from the center. So, in fact, it's almost going to be like an early season nor'easter that we get in the wintertime with rain, except it's not going to be in the 30s or snow, certainly, but it's going to be in the 60s, likely, Tuesday and Wednesday with wind-driven rain, rough seas. Of course, the tragedy down in North Carolina, the young man from Attleboro who apparently drowned in the rip currents. You want to be very, very careful, not just now, but right through the middle of next week. We've had it all week. Rough seas through all these hurricanes that have been between Harvey, Irma. I have a feeling that was part of the reason for the tragedy in North Carolina. It was a combination of Harvey just passing by into Florida and Irma, if you remember, passing just near Florida. It was sending out these big swells, and you want to be very careful over the coming days. We're going to have really some afternoons of nice beach weather, late-season beach weather. Water temperatures are still averaging in the mid to upper 60s right now. But I always say, outside of tropical storm threats, September generally is the best month of the year, I think, weather-wise, even into the first half of October. But not the next few days, beginning on Monday and especially Tuesday and Wednesday. So be very careful. If you like to look at big waves, maybe down in Jamestown or Narragansett or Horseneck Beach, it'll be nice to look at. But if you're out on, say, on a jetty, stay away because you're going to get a rogue wave that could push you into the water, and bad things can happen, as we all know. So that is the negative that's coming up. Now, the other thing is, after we get rid of Jose, and again, Elaine, Tony, and Mike, I think there are some chances if we have a right track of perhaps getting northeast winds over 60 miles an hour at some point Tuesday or Wednesday, probably Tuesday night and Wednesday at its closest approach. Again, it doesn't look like it's going to be a direct hit, but because the storm's size will increase, even though we're not talking anything close to Irma or Harvey in terms of intensity, but because the winds will spread out, I think Attleboro, Providence, Woonsocket, Taunton, Fall River, certainly the Cape and Islands, are under the gun for strong winds on Tuesday and Wednesday. They likely will probably at least strip some of the leaves off the trees, which now that as we go through the middle of September are now starting to weaken, showing color. You're probably going to see a lot of leaves blowing off the trees and probably some isolated power outages because the leaves are still on the trees. That would be Tuesday and Wednesday. Now, after that, things quiet down for a time, hopefully. We talked about this all week. There's a slight chance that Jose could start looping around and maybe come back at us. Can you believe that? That's only happened once. Hurricane Esther in 1961 hit us almost on the same day in the middle of September of 1961. Esther, as a strong tropical storm, minimal hurricane. Again, it wasn't the worst thing ever. However, it looped around, went south, and then came back up and hit us again in a smaller way. That's a small chance that this could happen. So we could be replaying 1961 with Hurricane Esther or Tropical Storm Esther. After that goes by, assuming it doesn't loop around, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and most of the start of next weekend should be okay. But can you believe we're watching this feature, this east of the islands, there's going to be another hurricane threat possibly to the east coast, and that would be Lee next weekend and early next week. And then after that, there's another system, although it most likely would stay out in the Atlantic, that would be Maria. So we have Jose to worry about for Tuesday and Wednesday. We have Lee that could affect the East Coast, not New England, who knows. But right now, I would say the next two Tuesday, keep Tuesday in mind. Tuesday of this upcoming week, Tuesday of the following week, that's the 26th. Those at this point are the 2 days where we could have threats from tropical systems.
Wow, that seems, is this a very, very active year for hurricanes that year?
It's all in. We've talked about this many times, and others have as well.
Right.
You can get a ton of storms.
Right.
Out in the Atlantic, in the Gulf of Mexico usually, because it's almost landlocked, not there. But you can get tons of storms, like we've had on occasion over the last several years. But if they're all out at sea, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one. I've said this to you, Elaine, before. The year we had Hurricane Bob in 1991, you think, oh, that was terrible. But Hurricane Bob, we got hit. It was a bad season. No, it actually was a dud season. It was about the last storm of the season. There was one other. It was only about, there were several others, but they all stayed out at sea. There was only seven named storms. If you do the math now, we're up to J. That means we're at 10. And so with Jose and Lee, might make it 11. As a matter of fact, I say might, it likely will. So all it takes is one or two to hit you. And the jet stream patterns, we were starting to worry about this back in May and June when we had a few storms, you might remember, out in the Atlantic, but they all stayed at sea. But we could see this jet stream pattern shifting. Part of the reason why you've heard about all those fires out of the west, it's been a big ridge of high pressure along the west coast. Seattle, Portland, Oregon have had some of their hottest temperatures ever this summer. And that meant there's a deep trough in the middle of the country, and it's these troughs and ridges that align just right, and they have over the last 2 weeks. And they're going to continue that way for at least another 2 weeks. So as I like to call windows of opportunity, since Harvey, 2 weeks ago roughly, and for at least another 2 weeks, the door is open for any hurricanes or tropical systems to threaten the United States. Now, it could suddenly get shut off, say, in 2 weeks, and we'll have other storms that form but stay way out at sea. But we are right now in the bowling alley here in the East Coast for Jose and Lee. By the time Maria possibly moves closer, the bowling alley may shift east, and that would keep Maria offshore.
Jim?
Yes?
Just to get back to Jose for a moment, Jose seems to have a mind of its own, because about a week ago they were predicting that it was going to take a sharp northeast turn and just go out into the Atlantic.
That's it.
And then all of a sudden Jose did a 360, and now it's taking
it,
a different track.
No, well, it's been milling around in weak steering currents. Think about it. Remember Irma, a few days before it hit Florida, it was expected to turn and just stay just offshore of the East Coast.
Right.
And instead, it hit the West Coast. Obviously, it was such a large storm that it still affected the East Coast, Miami, and all that. But so the model, the hurricane model that has been, the reason why I'm more concerned than some forecasters, the model that predicted Irma to hit the West Coast, while most of the others weren't, is the one that has predicted Jose to also hit New England and a couple of others, and then some of the others are offshore.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is these storms, it's unlike storms in the wintertime. When we get like a blizzard in the wintertime, usually the storms form within about 12 hours, and then we have to decide in 12 hours, are they going to go here? Are they going to go inland? Or we get rain, snow. These hurricanes or tropical systems, tropical storms, whatever intensity, we can track them for days, usually. And this one, I'll be honest, I saw Jose coming off Africa almost 2 weeks ago. That's how long it's been around now, as a week low at first. And I emphasize that it's Category 1 now. It's not a 4 or a 5 like Harvey and Irma were. But it's all it takes to hit New England this time of the year. Because we still have leaves on the trees, I talk about this all the time. This is the time of year, summer and fall, when if you do have a windstorm, and usually unless it's a quick thunderstorm with severe, this is the time of the year where less wind is needed to take trees and branches down, because the trees still have their leaves on. Wouldn't surprise me. I'll end on this. I know you have
to. I know. I have to take a break.
Okay, I'll end on this. Again, I know. I ramble. I know.
No.
Not bad for this weekend. Both tomorrow and today, we start with fog, and then the sun comes out. Tuesday, Wednesday is the bad time. I would suspect we're going to have some power outages in the greater Attleboro area. We're going to have some street flooding, and then it's going to get much nicer by Thursday and Friday.
Sounds good. All right, my friend.
I'll shut up, Elaine.
No.
I'll talk to you down the road.
We'll talk next week. Take care.
Okay.
Thanks,
right.
Jim. Wow, what a forecast. That is unbelievable. Hey, listen, stay tuned. We're going to take our last break, and Austin Rick has just came in, and we're going to talk about Choose H2O when we come back after these messages. We'll be right back.
Wheaton College will present Graft, an exhibition of the works of Providence-based artist Helene Battalion from September 5th to October 21st in the Beard Gallery. Battalion, who is trained in fashion design and painting, creates a site-specific installation that explores the boundaries between garment and sculpture, between form and function, and between the beautiful and the grotesque. For more information about the exhibit, including gallery hours, you can email arts@wheatoncollege.edu.
Community VNA, with offices at 10 Emery Street in Attleboro, offers a wide variety of community-based health and supportive services to people of all ages. These programs are designed to maintain and improve our clients' well-being and quality of life. Community VNA is an experienced, compassionate home health agency certified by the state and federal government and has been named to Home Care Elite's 500, putting our agency in the top 5% of the nation for quality care. For more information, visit our website at www.communityvna.com or call us at 508-222-0118.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just got invited to the prom. Do you A, meet her date?
I need to see your past date report cards, your driver's license, a list of references, and this hair sample.
B, help her pick out a dress.
Don't you just love the long sleeves and turtleneck on this pantsuit?
Ugh.
C, attend the prom undercover.
Mom, what are you doing here?
I'm not Mom, I'm Calvin, the new kid at school.
Or D, capture her big moment.
Let's take a photo of you two. I'm in the middle.
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Hi there. We're kind of come back real quick because our time is just really limited, and I wanted to give Austin an opportunity to come in. And we had talked earlier about 32% among middle school youths are getting a lot of sugar and empty calories through carbonated beverages and that. And there's a real push now. We have a great committee in Attleboro, and I'd like Austin to explain to us exactly what the committee is and what is Choose H2O program.
Hi, Elaine. How's it going?
Great.
So I'm part of the Attleboro Area Healthy Living Consortium. It's a group that was formed, I believe, in 2016 after a community needs assessment was held. It was put on by the YMCA and Sturdy Memorial Hospital. They're the ones that kind of kicked off this program. And the point of the group, the consortium, is to have representatives from different organizations come together and offer their specialities to help solve problems in the community. We're not the only consortium. There's also a social responsibility consortium, and that's another group of people who are coming together to solve another problem. Mm-hmm. So what our first task as a healthy living consortium is has been to try and reduce obesity rates in the city overall, but specifically targeting obesity rates among our city's youth, in particular at the schools. And so we're working with the Attleboro school systems. Superintendent Dave Sawyer is also on the consortium. We're launching a program called Choose H2O, which is basically to encourage kids to replace drinking sugary beverages and sweetened beverages, things that can contribute to obesity, with water, and just to make that the primary choice for kids. The program has been funded by a generous donation from the Balfour Foundation and Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. And basically, it includes the installation of five water fountain and bottle refilling stations. These are there's one at the YMCA now, right in the main area going into the gym. And it'll refill your bottle. I have a 24-ounce bottle. It'll fill it up in about 4 or 5 seconds.
Wow.
There's a sensor. You just put it right up to it, and it just drops the water in, and, you know, it's great. It's also a water fountain. So five of those are being installed in Brennan Middle School. That's where our pilot program is being held. And we're also including and distributing water bottles, BPA-free water bottles. I'm holding an example here.
Yes.
I'll describe it.
Are we leaving that with me? No.
This is my personal water bottle. But I believe the final color, I haven't seen it in person yet, but I believe the final color is blue. It's a 24-ounce bottle. There are measurements along the side. It's transparent, so you can kind of see what's in it. And what's nice about it is that it's very easy to clean. There's no like weird angles that straws are going through, things that can kind of collect bacteria. It's very easy to clean. It's dishwasher safe, and it has a loop to connect to a backpack,
wow,
which is nice. So you can just put it right on the back of your backpack and it'll stay on. There are also measurements along the top. So you can count how many times you refill it a day. So, you know, especially when I first got it, I was trying to get to six. So six on my bottle is the maximum count. So, you know, 24 ounces times six, that's plenty of water.
That is plenty of water. So, now, when are you going to kick this off at Brennan?
So we're having a formal launch ceremony on Tuesday, September 19th at 12. So this program is mostly for the students, but there's going to be a following day. I believe it's the 27th. I can confirm that. But I believe it's the 27th at 6 p.m. I'll have to double check that. But so that's more for parents. And we are hoping to expand this program to the other schools in the city once it reaches its conclusion.
That's my question. Yes, yeah. Because I think it's just a great thing to expand the program into the other school systems too, and especially if you get more funding from the Balfour Foundation, that would be really awesome.
Right. Yeah, that was great when that came through. So the bottles have been delivered. I spoke with Robin yesterday at the Y, and she told me that the Y received them earlier in the week, and then they were all delivered to Brennan.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Now, will you be at Brennan? Will you have the opportunity to go over it and see the distribution yourselves?
Yes, I'll be there for the launch event. And
great.
So we're inviting partner community organizations to attend that and to hand out different information. So, for example, Community VNA, the YMCA will be there. And just to provide healthy information to the residents of the community.
Wow, that's great. I have one more quick question. I know our time is very limited here, and I apologize. And thanks for being a good sport for coming on. But now that the H2O program is coming on, are you looking at healthy snacks in the schools, like school lunches and that? Would that be something that the committee would consider in the future?
So we're open to ideas.
Mm-hmm.
This has been our first initiative. I believe that there are some like nutritional requirements for the schools. Like I know that there aren't any like soda machines in schools right now. So I'm sure that we could work with the vendors and the school system to provide even healthier food choices for students.
That's great. And I think it's a great start to at Brennan Middle School. That's really, really wonderful. And I looked at all the, and I want to thank Tom for giving me the information sheets about the Healthy Living Consortium. I mean, the members are just unbelievable, from the Sturdy Memorial and the partnerships with the YMCA, and many, many different community leaders in our area are stepping up and really helping and supporting this great cause. So good luck with, you know, choose H2O.
Thanks. I did want to confirm that date. So for the parent night, it is September 27th from 6 to 7 p.m.
Great.
So that's when that's being held, and that's more open to the public.
And that's at
Brennan Middle School.
Okay, yep. Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, as always. I do appreciate you. Thank you. And I wanted to thank Tony Viveras and Jim Corbin and, of course, Mike, too, to making the show really great. And just to remind everybody, it's primary day on Tuesday. And like Tony said, he lost the election by one vote. Isn't that something?
Wow,
yeah. So your vote matters. So get out there on Tuesday. The polls will open, and make sure that you vote. I wanted to remind you, too, that Dominic will be back at 6 a.m. to 9, Monday through Friday, followed by Paul Hilly from 9 to noon. Our show Out and About with Elaine is on each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., followed by Kane & Company from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, have a great week and meet me back here next Saturday to find out what's out and about in our community. We're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally.